You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, January 6, 2012. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, the great Cliff Schechter, dressed in his casual garb, as it is Casual Friday. And, ladies and gentlemen, the rumors I think are true. Chris Rosen may be joining us. I don't know if it'll be the last time ever. But he will supposedly be giving us movie recommendations. A little bit controversial. Today on the show, Jobs Report comes out. More private sector jobs created in this past year, I think, than the entire 8 years of the Bush administration. Of course, the problem is we've lost 280,000 public sector jobs because the idiots that rule over us still subscribe to this notion of austerity. But I won't be the only one commenting on that because, of course, today is Friday and we have Cliff Schechter, but never before his theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Yes, Cliff Schechter. Welcome, Cliff.
Sammy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm not wearing a sexy sweater vest like you were on TV the other night.
It's Casual Friday, so I am now wearing the full-sleeved. You know, the secret to my sweater vest is that you know, when the weather changed and I had to do like Radigan on Mondays or whatever it was that I had to, you know, some hit on TV, I didn't want to wear a sport coat because then you got to put it over the jacket. You got to put the jacket over the sport coat, and I wear a backpack to work, and I didn't want to have to get the thing pressed every time I wore it. And it seemed like the sweater vest actually like appears on TV almost as if you're wearing a jacket. Like, you don't look like you're dressing down. I couldn't just wear a shirt and tie, and I couldn't just wear a, you know, full-on sweater. You wear a sweater vest, it actually looks more dressy than a jacket.
That is a good point. I thought you were doing a Santorum kind of thing. Because I know you, and I know what a evil wit you are, and I remember back in the days before I even knew you, when I just looked at you from afar as such a talented man, and I saw you wearing the bow tie, and I knew what that was about.
Right. Well, the bow tie was just to confuse people so that I get confused with Tucker Carlson, and people would watch the TV and go, what happened to that guy with a bow tie? He's completely liberal now. But no, the Santorum vest thing, it's actually a real issue for me because I was doing the sweater vest. I was probably the first person in the country ever to wear a sweater vest.
So what you're saying is he stole it from you.
Bingo.
Okay, I can accept that.
You just won yourself a free pilot season DVD.
Wow, that's awesome. Did I really?
Yeah. Do you not have one? I'm in a...
No, I don't.
I'll give you one.
When it's all over, I know you're going to charge me for it.
In the end, I will charge you. I mean, I'll automatically deduct it from your credit card. When I saw you last time in person, I stole your credit card receipt. And so don't worry about it. I'll take care of the whole thing.
I gave you all those free cupcakes, and you still did that, huh? Yeah. Amazing.
Cliff had did you have like a massive cupcake at your birthday or something?
That was. It was a cupcake the size of an actual cake.
Yeah, it was impressive. But
Let's move past birthdays and sweater vests to the issues of the day. Is that what you're trying to say, Sam?
Indeed. Now, you know, the clown car continues. You know, I've talked about it a lot this week, I have to say that there is something special about having Rick Santorum back into the race, because I'm sorry, folks, he is a loon. And, you know, I put out that video of him saying, you know, we don't want to give block people your tax dollars because, you know, we want them to go out and get jobs. And then, of course, he's denied it in about 14 different ways, which is usually an indication that he's lying. He also, I've been reading more about, do you remember the whole story about he brought home the fetus? And at the time, do you remember that story?
Didn't they take it out to a dance club or something? I'm sorry. I know I'm going to pay for having said that.
Well,
I can't help.
Look, listen, you know, I sympathize with anyone who has lost a pregnancy. I think it is, under any circumstances, I'm sorry, I think it's bizarre to take the fetus home in a jar, show it to the kids that are alive. If you want to bury the fetus, that's fine. But to show it to your young kids, I think is disturbed. I really do think it's disturbed. But I've been digging into this, and it turns out this was not a miscarriage. This was an induced, if you want to call it an induced birth, you can. Or you could also call it an abortive procedure, because this was a non-viable fetus that was less than 23 weeks old. Santorum's wife was in danger of her health was in serious danger. She had an infection. She could have died. And they made the choice that they would deny women if they had the opportunity to. It was between the life of the mother and this fetus.
Right.
And as I've read more about it, it makes the story that much more offensive. You want to be, you need to deal with your grief by showing your kids the aborted fetus in a jar. Do it. But the idea that you would deny this right that you had taken, advantage of yourself is reprehensible. This guy's
right, but that's like that's the Santorum story overall. And I'll say quickly, that's why I may have been a little mean there in what I said, but I'm much more willing to mock people like him, because again, when it comes to something like that, he the contempt that he feels for gays and lesbians, for women who wish to actually control their destiny and control their reproductive choices and others. It's not just even that he's against these things. He's so obsessed with them, and has such contempt, I guess is the best word to use, when you hear him talk about it, that not to mention all the blah people on welfare, mm-hmm. Which I didn't hear at the time because I was busy listening to Back and Blah. we could go on with those forever. So, I mean, I think that affects my, but you know, I was just reading something. I know in the past you had Susan Saladoff on your show, mm-hmm. who we both met in Vegas and has a movie, Hot Coffee, and I'm helping her out with some things. And I just saw something about Rick Santorum too, which is the same exact thing. He's yelling and screaming about tort reform right now, which we you probably explained on those shows how ridiculous it is. Mm-hmm. And most people don't understand it's just corporations taking away people's rights. And Santorum's he wanted there to be a $250,000 cap on non-economic damages, which essentially means any pain, suffering, anything else you go through. But, you know, his wife – couldn't lose the weight she thought she should be able to lose after her pregnancy, one of her pregnancies. So she sued their doctor for $500,000, as in twice as much as the cap that Rick Santorum wanted. And he, of course, defended her and justified it and said, well, you know, she used to be in very much into fitness, and now, you know, it upsets her the way she looks when she goes out, so it affects her mentally, and she can't do the fitness stuff she used to do, she can't do right now. So in other words, that was okay, because it was Rick Santorum's wife that was hurt to sue for $500,000. But no one else in the United States, no matter how grievously you're injured or harmed, should be able to sue for anywhere north of $250,000 in non-economic. So there's Rick Santorum for you.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's the same story as you just told. It's the classic hypocrisy. Okay for him, you know, okay for his family. These guys abuse the living hell out of the courts when it works for them.
Right.
See Bush v.
Right.
Gore for that.
Well, you know, I don't want to spend too much time talking about Rick Santorum. I would love him to be the nominee, and then we could spend a lot of time talking about this guy. I don't think he will be, but it should be fun. And, you know, we can talk about this thing's not going to get really sort of – there's not going to be any type of clarity until we get to South Carolina. But I do want to talk about Ron Paul with you, because that's sort of been thematically this week – on this program, and it's the most interesting conversation I think that is happening in the context of the left right now in regards to the election, the Republican primary. The rest of it is just
right.
Shitting on lunatics. Which, excuse me, make a note that we have a swear there. Because I got to say also. We are on We Act Radio in Washington, D.C., AM radio, of which we're speaking to one of the founders.
Sure, I'm a founder and a partial owner, so any of that works.
And we gotta watch our language for that. So
sorry to do that to you.
That's
okay. The FCC's fault, by the way. I would let you say whatever you wanted.
I understand. I appreciate that. But the interesting thing about the Ron Paul debate is that he is saying some things. He has positions and is actually introducing these ideas into the public discourse in a way that, sadly, we're not seeing any of our top Democratic leaders do. Now, you know, we've seen Kucinich talk about it when he's run in the past. He's not running this year. So the idea of we shouldn't have an empire,
right.
The idea that the war on terrorism is hyped up, the idea that we should be attacking Iran, these are all good things. The fact that our civil liberties are being infringed upon, these are all good things. And I want to read something just from Ian Welsh, who is a blogger.
Yes.
A smart guy. He says, you know, the reason why Ron Paul causes hysterics, and he's talking about essentially this sort of, left on left action in the blogosphere.
Nicely put, by the way.
Thank you. Ron Paul causes hysterics as he pits interest groups against interest group, morality versus morality. He's a different kind of lesser evil. If Afghans got to vote in the U.S. election, who would they vote for? How important is habeas corpus to you, really? How about pot legalization, etc.? Ron Paul is awful on some issues and very good on others. Are abortion rights more important than dead Afghans and Pakistanis at weddings? I don't claim they are or aren't. I simply note Ron Paul forces you to make that choice. And Paul would end all bank bailouts. Hate the banksters? Think they're the problem? Paul's your man. Obama is objectively awful, according to Ian Welsh. Paul is objectively awful. But unlike Romney, Paul is objectively awful in different ways than Obama. Romney would just be Obama, but slightly worse. If you're going to choose a lesser evil, you might as well choose Obama. But when it comes to Paul versus Obama, the equation changes. And that's why many progressives are attacking any other progressives who say anything good about Paul, because Paul threatens to split the left and Paul makes progressives decide what they value most. Now, I think for the most part, there's some truth to this, but I also am not so clear on Paul's stance on these issues of, well, war, I think, is pretty clear. But intervention, there's more nuance to this. His stance on civil liberties are not so clear because he would allow for the states to infringe upon civil liberties. He just has a problem with the federal government doing it. What's your thoughts on this?
I think there's a lot. What often seems to happen these days, particularly because there's a group of people. I think they're most notably on Twitter, but scattered at a couple publications on the left and other places that literally defend Obama no matter what he does. Then there are people, in fact, somebody, I think it was Glenn Greenwald, got himself in a little trouble using a metaphor to explain that, but I'm not going to get into that. There is the other side of it, which is there's people who are so adamant and say that, they think that because they hate Obama, I think they're a little too charitable to Paul. And I think that, as often is in the case with these things, the truth is somewhere in the middle of these things, which is essentially, there are a lot of people that have apologized for Obama. You cannot apologize for him on the foreign policy and the detention and the rest of that stuff because that has all been him. When it comes to some other things, people at least can try to make the claim that it's Congress's fault. I would argue that he could have used the bully pulpit more effectively as well as other things. But at least there's sort of some argument there. It's very hard to make an argument in most of the cases that most of the things have to do with civil liberties and foreign policy, particularly when it's something like Libya, that he ignored the War Powers Act, which to me is a pretty serious violation. And I get that, why people would say, okay, Ron Paul and would like his positions. But I think it's important to say, I like that Ron Paul is there and bringing these things up. I like that these things are being injected into the debate. But it is important to still make the distinction that he's a pretty terrible guy and that he's not a traditional libertarian. There's states' rights isolationism, of which, I'm sitting here in Ohio, Robert Taft probably, I think of someone who was a union buster, an isolationist who didn't want to go into World War II, which is what Ron Paul has said that it has been outed, so to speak, for saying that we really only went in to save Jews, and if it weren't for Pearl Harbor, we would have had no business being there. He obviously didn't even believe in the Civil War. So if you look at him, he's not like a libertarian the way that Gary Johnson is a libertarian, a guy who's pro-choice and is much more pro-gay rights and the rest. I think that would force people into more of a tougher decision of, what am I willing to do versus what I'm not willing to, or what am I willing to support versus what I'm not willing to support. The problem with Paul is that his good positions on some of these issues still come from a very bad place. These guys are isolationists in foreign policy because the main thing is having a small or to non-existent federal government. So the way he cut the departments of energy, commerce, education, the EPA, HUD, and the rest of them, that's all kind of the same strain of isolationism as the federal government should step out of things and let the states decide. But he's shown that kind of isolationism often came from a very racist, we're better than other people kind of place. And you can see that in, he supported the rights of states to, for example, Texas, to ban sodomy. He disagreed with that Supreme Court case that overturned their right to do that. He thinks a state should have that right. He obviously believes in this personhood amendment crap where he supported Mississippi's right to essentially turn the gleam in your eye when you start thinking about getting somebody pregnant into a child. And so it's important for people to know where his positions are coming from. He ends up in some good places, and he ends up in some places where some of us can agree with him. But he doesn't start from the places we start from, which is we shouldn't go abroad because most of the time, with some exceptions, World War II and some other things, going to war tends to just make things worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we also, it's not just a question of where he starts, but there's a whole journey there so that when you are also theoretically ending these wars, you're also ending aid to stop AIDS in Africa. You're also
that's right. You're leaving the UN. You're pulling out of the UN, which he sponsored a number of.
And it doesn't just stop with him allowing for the states to impinge on the civil liberties of women in terms of their bodies or the civil liberties of gay people. His son made it very clear, and I'm sure that Ron Paul would say the same thing. you know, the Civil Rights Act. I mean, what business does a federal government have in saying whether or not black people can be discriminated against?
Right. Whether you're a private business, you have a private business, you want to just say no blacks, no Jews, no women, no whoever, you can do that.
Yeah, and so this is, and he also would have no problem with states, imposing their own draconian drug laws. It's just he just doesn't like the federal government to get
that's
involved.
Exactly right. So this is actually not libertarianism. I actually think that's a misnomer. I do not think he's a libertarian. What he is a neo-Confederate isolationist. This is the position that the South took pre-Civil War because they didn't want the big bad federal government telling them they couldn't do things like, you know, enslave people. That's where his positions are coming from. And most the only reason why he seems to stick out so much is because a lot of his views on gays and African Americans and the rest, you know, in the 1940s or 50s when this was a big strain in the Republican Party, you could actually say those things out loud and that was acceptable. You know what I mean? I mean, black people just want to steal your purse and that's why they run so fast or whatever thing he said like that. You know what I mean? But now, so he's this leftover vestige of that part of the party. But people shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that's the same thing as a libertarian who really does believe that the government should be small so that individuals can have liberty. Different thing. And that's what Gary Johnson is for. And I'm not telling anybody to vote or support Gary Johnson, but you want to get behind a libertarian, get behind Gary Johnson.
Well, and the other problem then is also the libertarian philosophy, which is essentially then says all power really should exist in the hands of corporations. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's what libertarianism is, that corporations should have all the power and it should be only tempered by the market. And we have seen
right.
what a completely or even a slightly unfettered market does in terms of corporate power. It allows for a tremendous amount of abuse of workers
that's exactly
and consumers.
Right. Right. Well, that's it. Go ahead. Sorry, Sam. Go
well,
ahead.
I mean, so even if you don't, even if you know, the problem with Ron Paul is that his libertarianism is really, like you said, a neo-confederism or a non-federalism. I don't know how you would say that. But and then you have other problems with libertarianism in that the entire sort of three quarters of their philosophy in terms of what it deals with in terms of the economy, they're basically calling for an economic feudalism.
Right. I mean, and that was, I wanted to jump in and make sure is because I wanted to make clear to people what I'm saying. I'm not sitting here saying he's not really a libertarian, so don't listen to him, but libertarianism is awesome. What I'm saying is he comes from a much worse place than where I think libertarianism comes from. I'd call him a neo-Confederate isolationist if you combine sort of some of the things he believes in. Whereas, libertarianism, I think, is comes from a different place, but I think that place is called utopia, and I think that place is called naivete. You know, in the end, even what someone like Gary Johnson stands for, you're exactly right. 100 years ago, well, more than 100 years ago, but you know, pre-like Standard Oil and big corporations and big railroad trusts, one might be able to argue that libertarianism might, you know, in some ways, people, because the biggest threat to people's power back then was a huge state, that there may be an argument that, you know, we should all just be left alone and individual liberties were mattered. But the problem is that even if you believe what libertarians like a Gary Johnson believes, the big sort of elephant in the room, no pun intended, is the fact that corporations, you won't get freedom because if the government removes its role, in the end, these big conglomerations of money and power known as corporations are still going to enslave you in a variety of ways. So all that freedom that you're supposed to get from libertarianism, you actually will never get. I mean, in theory, it's wonderful. But when you're being thrown in the bank for debt, I mean, being thrown in prison for debt to a bank, you know, and the rest of it, because corporations are running rampant, and when they're, you know, when they're stuffing your toys full of lead and the rest of it, you're not going to feel so free when your kid ends up in the hospital.
Right. And of course, though, to be fair, in the libertarian paradise, the bank doesn't throw you into a government-sponsored jail. They probably open up their own down their basement. And you go,
and let, like, our, you know, and they hire, like, an Arpaio-type character to run the place. And It's like that movie, The Island, if you ever saw it with Ewan McGregor. That's your future.
I haven't seen that, but if that has anything to do with Seasteading, we got to be careful because otherwise I'll get 5,000 emails from the from a series of Seasteading ambassadors. We may have.
Well, I would say just ask Rosen if he would recommend The Island.
Right.
I think that was the name of it.
I'm sure he's not aware of it.
Scarlett Johansson, too. You can't really go wrong with her.
Oh, well, then maybe he will. All right, listen, we only have 3 or 4 minutes. I want to ask you about these, your sense of these recess appointments. What are the implications, both politically? What are the implications in terms of, is this a new, tougher Obama?
No, but... But it appears, at least to a lot of people that don't pay as close attention, it seems like one. So I think that's a good thing. I mean, he needs to show some spite. He needs to show some guff, if that's a word. And you and I have been saying that, and others, many others have been saying that for a long time. So, I mean, this is what we always wanted. We wanted that Teddy Roosevelt speech. We wanted the guy saying, I'm going to put on recess appointments. And when Mitch McConnell whines and cries about it, telling him to stuff it, you guys put that guy with that huge white mustache on from a recess appointment. That crazy Bolton character, right? So, I mean, not to mention a million other people, by the way. So, I mean, yes, it's a good step. My problem at this point, I guess I'm too cynical. I just don't believe it anymore. I don't believe it. You know, what my best hope is that a lot of good policies will happen over the next year, like these things, because he'll have to put on the air of toughness to keep progressives in line. And, you know, hell, one year of him doing everything in a much stronger way would be better than 0 years of that, right?
Absolutely. So. I mean, that's really, I mean, at the end of the day, that's really the point. They must placate constituencies that they see are as important. And I hope that progressives in the left is one of those constituencies. Cliff Schechter, always a pleasure. Great to talk
Thanks,
to you.
Thanks, Sam.
Talk to you again shortly.
Take care, buddy.
Okay. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. I have every reason to believe at this point that Chris Rosen will be joining us. And I just saw a tweet where someone said it was from Hosness on Twitter. Upgraded my membership. He just did it today. Upgraded my membership because I thought Majority FM was done with 42-inch TV. This is Chris Rosen. Gonna have to reconsider.
Well, Chris Rosen just tweeted that he's making his Ali-like return to Majority FM today. Tune in to hear Sam Cedar hang up on me.
All right. Well, let's see if he shows. We'll be right back after this. Some people say that bowling alleys all look the same. There's not a line that goes here that rhymes with anything. Dream last night, but I forget what it was.
I'm actually at Movie Phone.
Big shots in your editor, eh?
Vertical editor.
Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob.
I'm actually in an office now.
Jimmy Reefer Cakes got to ask you, said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you?
Chris Rosen, are you there?
Yes, Sam. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Chris? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I can't believe you remembered I existed.
Well, you know, Chris, I sent you some IMs over the past month or so, and you didn't respond.
No, I mean, I'm very busy, you know, vertical editing and stuff, so it's hard for me to respond to every IM, but I saw some of them. You know, I thought you had moved on.
What do you mean you saw some of them?
You know, they blink and stuff. I see them on the screen.
Well, why didn't you respond?
I'm very busy. Vertical.
What, are you in like a stairwell?
Kind of. I'm in a hallway.
Where are you? At your office at Movie Phone?
Yeah, I have an office. Yeah, oh yeah. Hey. Big office here.
But if you have an office, why do you have to go into the hallway?
Because we're all in, we're in cubicles and stuff. I like to keep it personal, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want people knowing my business.
So wait, are you embarrassed by being on a...
No, I want to be able to be free with to do my monkey dance for you instead of having to worry about what people around me are thinking.
What is your job there at Movie Phone?
Vertical editing, a lot of vertical editing.
Nobody knows what that means.
You know, it's a lot of news stories and, you know, projects and features. It's a lot of fun. You should check it out, moviephone.com.
Yeah.
And next week we're going to launch on a new site, news.moviephone.com.
Oh, boy.
A lot of good stuff. It's going to be really exciting.
That sounds very exciting. Well, so...
And if you ever want to, you know, Sam, if you ever want to write about movies for us, we'd be more than happy to have you blog.
You pay?
No. Right. Not for you, at least.
That might be the only way you'll get Bad Situationist on there.
Yeah, I'll do a series of Who's the Caboose, Pilot Season, and Bad Situation.
Oh, yeah, there you go. We could write about who's... There you could write about who's your caboose to your heart's content.
Hmm.
Is it Who's the Caboose or Who's Your Caboose?
Are you serious?
I am. What is it again? I forgot.
Are you trying to offend me?
I'm just saying I couldn't remember what it was called.
Well,
but Sarah Silverman was great in it, and you were fine.
So, Chris, you should know that over the past couple of weeks, we've had some great, great, legitimate movie reviews.
Oh, let me hear. Who'd you have on?
Well, we had my friend Matthew came on, suggested a fantastic movie called Nobody's Business. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's a fantastic documentary, and it was a great recommendation. Then we also had Isabel Gillies on.
Who is that?
Isabel Gillies, she's an actress. Have you ever heard of the movie Metropolitan?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
With Stillman.
Yeah, she was in that movie. She was in SVU or SUV, whatever that...
Law and Order, the SUV.
That's right.
I love that show.
She was a regular. She was Chris Maloney's wife.
Oh, look at that.
She's also a best-selling author.
What was she doing on your show?
Well, she came on and gave us a wonderful movie review. Have you ever heard of Bill Cunningham, New York?
Yes, I have, actually. I have that on my list to see, but I didn't get to see it yet. It's supposed to be great, though. Did you watch it?
Yes, it was great.
You listened to their recommendation.
Well, you know, when I watch their recommendations and they're good, then I realize that they listen. I give everybody, you know, at least one shot. You, I gave a lot.
Have you seen Horrible Bosses yet?
I actually did.
How is Horrible Bosses?
Wasn't bad.
And what do you think, Frank?
Frank?
What's his name, Joe?
So you don't remember the name of my movie, and you don't remember Matt's name.
Matt, right. In my head, it's just douchebag, so it's hard.
Chris Rosen. So Horrible
Sam.
Bosses is the movie. So I've told you about these great movies that have been recommended to me by some other reviewers. We also had Asif Manvi on.
He's famous.
Yes, he is.
How do you get these people on?
They're all people I know. They're friends of mine.
Do you pay?
No, I don't.
Huh.
And so when I have you on, it's actually
what did he recommend?
Well, he recommended
Four Lines.
Four Lines. Four.
Oh, that's supposed to be funny.
Yes. And
all these movies are on my list of movies to see. I just haven't seen them. I'm too busy watching.
Well, you know, you're at Movie Line,
and the
you're
special
at Movie
features.
Phone, or vice versa, whatever it is. So
no, I'm at Movie Phone now. I was at Movie Line.
There's no time for you to see movies.
There's too much vertical editing.
Yeah, there's so much. Like, it's infinity, right? I mean, vertical just means, like, it just keeps going on
it's just
and
going
on and
on. It's the opposite of horizon editing.
Right. Well, I would imagine horizon editing also goes on and on. It just goes sideways.
Right. This is totally different, though.
Right. I mean, it's... Now, you should know, Chris,
yes.
That what my hope is that I'll have Matthew on and Isabel on once a month. And a comedian on or celebrity on once. What is going on?
What's up?
Are you in a construction area?
No. It's just, you know, it's a lot of, but it's like a very high traffic area. Some people are just walking around, you know.
Is that someone's heels on
yes.
in the hallway?
Yeah, it is.
Aren't you embarrassed sitting in the hall talking into
yes,
the computer?
Yes, I am very embarrassed.
So on top of that,
I could have went into the nap room.
My accountant tells me that if I have you on once a month, it's actually tax deductible as a charitable donation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I do you think that'll offset the amount of subscribers you lose by having me on once a month?
No, I'm not sure. That's the thing.
I don't think it will. I had such lovely lovely tweets from some of your listeners today. Hannes, great handle, upgraded my membership because I thought Majority FM was done with 42-inch TV.
Yeah.
Going to have to reconsider.
Was that your way of trying to work your Twitter handle into this conversation?
You could all follow me at 42-inch TV. It's a great Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be happy to know that I am getting rid of my my 22-inch television, the one that is 22 inches in terms of the screen, but like 65 inches.
It's one of those tube TVs.
Yeah, it's a huge, massive tube TV I've had for about 12, 15, maybe 18 years. It works fine, but
Randy take it?
I had American Express rewards, and so I'm getting a like a 31-inch flat-screen TV. What are you doing?
Oh, well.
Are you sending an email to someone?
No, no.
Are you in the nap room there?
No, no. I'm outside the nap room.
All right. So let's get – for people who don't know, this segment was started where you would suggest to me a Netflix streaming movie.
Right.
And or an Amazon On Demand movie because I'm not allowed to go out of my house to see movies because of my child and my wife who demand at all times that I'm there at their service. Could you ask that person to stop walking through our segment?
I really can't. Let me just try to move, though. We're walking.
All right, what are you, sitting outside the woman's bathroom?
No. Just people like wearing heels. I don't know what to tell you.
So, for those people who have never heard you on here, one of the problems we've had in the past is that the movies you suggest are generally bad unless they're ones that you haven't seen, in which case they tend to be good.
Well, you also originally got Rosen under the guise that he was a movie reviewer.
Oh, that was
never said that. Never said that. Never said that.
You were a movie reviewer, and then 7 to 8 months into us doing the segment, you revealed to me that you're in fact not a movie reviewer.
Never said that. Never claimed to be a movie reviewer.
Who are you emailing?
My vertical editing. I have a lot of vertical editing to do.
All right. So do you have a movie selection for us for this week?
Yes, I do, actually. I have a good one. It's sorry. It was going to be the Hangover Part 2.
Are you laughing at your own?
Yes.
At your own notion that you could be giving a good movie review or just suggestion?
What's up?
What?
I didn't hear what you said.
Never mind. What is the your movie recommendation for this week?
I had a few recommendations for you. I've been watching a lot of stuff, you know, vertical editing. And one of my favorites from last year that you could watch.
When I mentioned three good movies, you said, oh, I haven't had time to watch any movies.
Not those movies. I'm too busy watching like Love Actually and stuff.
Love Actually?
Never seen that?
What is that?
It's a movie.
What sitcom star is the...
It doesn't have... It actually has Oscar winner Colin Firth. It's a rom-com. Hugh Grant is in it. Ugh. But anyway, that
first
wasn't what
all,
I was going to recommend. I wasn't even going to recommend that. That's just a free one if you want to watch.
Who watches romantic comedies anymore? And
everybody
how offensive is it to call it a rom-com?
That's what they're called. Who am I offending? You? You don't even watch them. You didn't even know it existed.
All right. So what are you going to suggest?
I wanted to suggest Warrior.
Yeah, hold on for one second.
I just did it. I'm going now.
Can you get
it's
my
over.
Accountant on the phone to see exactly how much of a tax deduction I can take for this?
We're on our way. We're rolling downhill. Hello, is this thing on?
What's the name of the movie?
It's called Warrior.
Warrior. What
yes.
is that about?
It is a drama from last year. It's about two brothers. You're actually going to laugh at me because it sounds hack, but it's a great movie. It's about two brothers who one is a school teacher with economic problems. His other brother and the other brother is an Iraq war veteran, and they both end up fighting in this ultimate fighting championship, mixed martial arts. Is this thing on?
Kurt Angle's in the movie, right?
Kurt Angle is in the movie, Josh. It's a great movie. Nick Nolte is in it. He plays their drunken father. And spoiler alert, they have to fight at the end. And it's really actually a great movie.
Wait, what do you mean spoiler alert? You don't give a spoiler alert as
it's not a spoiler alert, dumbass. What do you think? They're going to have the two brothers not fighting? They're in the same tournament. Of course they're going to fight. It's in the trailer.
Great.
Another recommendation, that one, I think you'd have to Amazon. It's not on Netflix yet.
Yeah, it does not
sound. Another recommendation that's also not interesting is Tiny Furniture, which is on Netflix Instant Watch.
Tiny Furniture.
Yes, it's with Lena Dunham, who you might know is an up-and-coming comic star. She's pretty young.
Is this a comedy?
It's supposed to be a comedy.
Well, is it funny?
It's kind of funny.
Why are you recommending bad movies that you think are just like, it's supposed to be a comedy?
Because, you know, it's on Netflix. What are you going to get? There's not a lot on Netflix that you can find. That's a good one.
You know,
Sam, is this on?
I saw Isabel Gillies today dropping off kids at school. And she was really excited. Oh, there's so many great movies on Netflix, she said.
Oh, maybe you can give me her email address and we can exchange notes.
I don't think that would be appropriate.
What if I told her I was a big fan of Law and Order LA?
LA?
Is that her show? Wasn't that her show?
All right.
Sam.
Yeah.
I think we might have to cut this short.
You got to get out of the hallway.
I do.
This has been great.
Sam, I'm so happy to be back in the rotation.
Well, let me just
really
talk
excited.
To my accountant.
I'm really excited about this. I hope we can do it again next week.
Maybe.
No, and the week after?
Next week. All right. Well, we'll be in touch. I will look into Tiny Furniture, the comedy that's not that funny, and Warrior.
Warrior's outstanding movie. It's actually a great movie.
The,
you will like
Movie about the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
I will say I've heard very good things about Tiny Furniture.
Yeah, listen to dummy David over there.
Chris Rosen, ladies and gentlemen.
High on the hill was
we'll
a
talk to you later.
Goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, hee-hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd.
Wow, what was it? When was the last time we had him on the program?
Had to be over a month ago. Maybe six weeks ago.
Yeah, it's the tension and the sort of discomfort just like returns immediately. I do want to see if we're getting a tax break from this though. Because I do think, I mean, it's charity at this point. People feel bad for Chris Rosen. This is vertically editing. My God, rom-com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to something better, shall we?
It is sort of funny, though, that what he said about Tiny Furniture, because Tiny Furniture was apparently so well-loved by critics that HBO picked up this 20-year-old girl for a series that's coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So maybe actually it's a good movie, and he just has a bad sense of humor.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, then Tiny Furniture, I'm going to put on my list. I may actually watch that. I mean, the problem is that I don't think that I've followed one of his movie recommendations for 6 months. Because I watched the first couple and it was just abysmal. And you know the problem when you sit down, you know, after the argument subsides between Nikki and I about what movie we're going to watch. And then, you know, she's got to get the popcorn. And then all of a sudden she's too sleepy. And then we watch the movie and it turns out to be horrible. It's just not worth it. Never mind going out and paying $100 to go see a movie outside, because you got to pay for a babysitter and this and that. The whole thing's become too much of an effort. Maybe I should just have him suggest YouTubes. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for that portion of our show on Casual Fridays, where we play songs that have been submitted to us for the week in review by our listeners. And, of course, our two stalwarts, Jimmy Reefer Cake, and also The Screaming Majority. Now, Jimmy Reefer Cake is too caught up in Ron Paul fever to have given us a new song this week, but he did have an original song from the week before, which we didn't get in time to play, and it is an ode to Catherine Harris, who appears on this program, sounds an awful like, a lot like Janine Garofalo, if Janine Garofalo smoked too much, let's say. But here's that song now from Jimmy Reefer Cake.
Perhaps me, Garofalo, been trying not to love you. It's impossible, I call you my smoky warrior princess. Wanna shower you with hugs and shower you with kisses. My, for goodness sake, don't you ever play this song for Mrs. Reefer Cake. Oh, Janine, Garofalo, I'm trying not to love you's impossible. Janine.
Wow, that was borderline inappropriate. That was a borderline, and it didn't mention Catherine Harris at all in it. And he, I mean, I thought it was interesting, but it could be a little, I mean, that's a little bit too fan-based. It makes me uncomfortable. But now, The Screaming Majority, David Benjoya, writes, Happy New Year, Sam. On Monday, I asked Dan Killian, of course, another member of The Screaming Majority, do you want to write a song or wait until after the Iowa caucuses? And he says, screw that. I know what's going to happen. Here's a song. While not mathematically accurate, I think it well describes the Republicans bringing up the rear of the horse suit. Here's to the losers. Cheers, Dave. The song is called Three-Way Tie for Fourth Place.
It's a three-way tie for fourth place. Somebody better get out of the race. Ain't no ranked beginner, but I got no delegates from Virginia. If you wanna get a true decider, you need to get the real outsider. I'm making my last stand, South Carolina. Iowa, Iowa. New Hampshire, I don't know about that. There's one place where they're with you or for them. Either that or Rick Santorum. Wanna get the true decider? You need to find the real outsider. A man to make my final stand. South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina. Where the people are true and they're better than you.
So true, even before the Iowa results, the Screaming Majority knows that it's all going to come down to South Carolina, and I think they're right. We're going to have much more clarity after South Carolina. Rick Santorum is not going to win in New Hampshire. It's impossible. Because all the people in Massachusetts who don't like taxes basically move up to southern New Hampshire. And then they work in Boston. And it's basically all those people who actually, the only people who ever liked Mitt Romney in Massachusetts moved up to southern New Hampshire. So Mitt Romney is going to win there. Ron Paul may come in second. I'm not sure. Santorum may do well. But at the end of the day, it's just going to come down to, why am I saying the end of the day so much this week? I think Ross Broccoli got me started on it.
Or maybe you've been listening to that Pat Robertson interview so much. You have
yes,
end of days on your...
That's exactly right. It's going to come down to South Carolina. All right, folks. We're going to head into the better half of the program. Maybe we'll make it a freebie Friday. I'm not sure. We'll decide that afterwards. Maybe we won't. because I commented on a blog where these right-wingers were upset about my Santorum comments. And, of course, they just wrote a bunch of nonsense, and there was a lot of, like, talking, like, we should go on that show, and we should go on that show and teach that guy a lesson. Yeah, that's the problem with Republicans. They don't deal with these left-wingers who spout all these smears, and they never address them. And so I invited the proprietor of the blog to come on to the show via phone. And he said, well, you could just come on my blog. And so I went, and I wrote on their blog. And then I invited all of them. And they all said, well, I'm not going to go on there. And it was actually pretty funny. These guys talk a really tough game until they actually have to have a conversation about it. But hopefully they'll call. The number is 646-257-3920. There's nothing more cowardly than a right-winger on one of their jihads. And now they have the opportunity to speak to a lot of people. It's part of the show. Probably make it on terrestrial radio. We'll see. 646-257-3920. You can IM me at Majority FM. I will read your IMs. Got a couple of stories. Scott Walker's good buddies. Arrested for a felony? Nah. Natch. Breakdown of Romney's tax plan. And we'll play some gay marriage stuff from Rick Santorum. Because this guy really, really doesn't want the gays to be married. It's destroying his marriage. All right, folks. We'll see you in the better half.